Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, November 14th, 2007. The only November 14th, 2007 in the history of humanity. It is also the only third night of the Autumn Pledge Drive of the Gospel Revolution in 2007. And we're glad to have you with us as we endeavor over these next 7 days to finish strong in the Autumn Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. We're endeavoring, as I said, to raise the operating capital for Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution for the next 3 months. And we are doing it in increments of $5,000, $10,000 total, $5,000 in one-time gifts, $5,000 in annual monthly pledges. And as we go to broadcast tonight, we've got a ways to go, ladies and gentlemen. We are at $1,835 towards our $5,000 goal of one-time gifts. And we are at $2,640 towards our goal of $5,000 for monthly gifts that will total $5,000 during the course of the year. But we know we can do it with your help. We want to get off to a fast start tonight. We've got all of our lines up and running. This is Glenn Klein Online coming to you live from the Gospel Revolution, Glenn Klein Online Studio in beautiful Tampa, Florida. Patrick Jones waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. It is so important, folks, that we get off to a quick start. Momentum is just what that is momentum. And so if you can, if you're listening right now and it's live, as opposed to listening on the archive, please be that first person to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Let us know what you're going to do in a one-time catch-up gift for this Gospel Revolution effort, and also what you can afford on a monthly basis, $10 a month, $20 a month. What we really need, frankly, is two people. Three would be awesome to step up and say, I will donate and pledge $100 a month for the next 12 months, and then that goal is met. Then we can get after the one-time goal of getting us to $5,000 between now and 10:30 Eastern time.
Sounds like a good plan.
Who is that voice? That sexy man. Now, coming to us from his the home offices of the Gospel Revolution and the Freedom Worship Center in beautiful Cypress, Texas, near Houston, is the president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening.
Fresh back from the Calgary revival meeting, if you will.
An amazing trip. An amazing meeting, for sure.
We're going to be talking about that. I got a really nice letter from the host, if you will, of that meeting. Just before I came over here, Diane and Rowan wrote, and they want to hear you talk about the meeting, which we will do. It was a great time north of the border this last weekend. Mike now back in Houston, getting ready to go to Wisconsin this week. Things are happening, Michael.
And oh my gosh, so very much so. It's just it's like John had made the statement, you know, just a couple of weeks back that we really had gone into a time of favor. And, you know, we really are experiencing that. everybody knows that I really do not like to spiritualize things to any degree. Even if, you know, if I saw it with my own eyes, I'd probably play it down. But, man, I tell you, this is just really amazing. It's just undeniable. The conference was extremely successful, and we've got a brand new series that will be coming out. They are being readied right now, and my goodness, we've been cranking out CDs until, in fact, we had our two of our people here in the church that have been working on them for the last few days even just walked out the door so that they wouldn't be making noise in the background while we were online, and all of the orders are caught up, and we're ready now to take more. Of course, we've got the people from the Canada Conference signed up and ordered those, and those are in the process already. and they will have that series ready. In fact, people can go ahead and start ordering that if they like. And we titled that conference. It turned out to be it's going to be 6 CDs of teaching, and it's entitled The Impossible Dream.
To dream the impossible dream.
Why did I know that was going to happen?
we're like Lewis and Martin, you know. You set me up, baby. I'm going to sing it. So we're going to talk more specifically about what happened in Calgary, but we want to reiterate, we want to get off to a quick start. Somebody's out there right now, and they're going to type in webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know that they want to order that new The Impossible Dream series, that they want to make a one-time gift, or that they want to pledge on a monthly basis. All you do, folks, is go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, click on donations, make your best effort there, and then just email us here at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you have done. Or even more ideally, you would pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-436-3260 and let us hear from you in person. We love hearing people's stories. We love hearing your accents. We have people listening literally all over the planet. So if you're listening live and it's Wednesday night between 9 and 10:30 Eastern time, you're listening live. If it's on the archive, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did so we can count it towards that $10,000 goal. And we really believe we're going to meet that tonight. And but we got to get off to a quick start. We can't wait a half hour, 45 minutes to get our first call. So who is going to be? Somebody right now is being tempted to pick up the phone and say, you know what?
Terribly tempted.
Temptation. 1-800-436-3260. Let us hear from you right now. 1-800-436-3260. Patrick L. Jones is waiting to take your call, and we will put you online immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Giving $200 would be awesome. And we will be happy to take your call and get you online immediately. If you give a gift, when you give a gift of $100 or more, whether it's a one-time gift or your monthly pledges equal $100 or more, you will receive the 2 CD teaching series, In Christ. That is free and postage paid. That's our way of thanking you for participating in the Autumn Pledge Drive. 2 CDs for just your gift, In Christ. Michael, when somebody says that I am in Christ, biblically, what does that actually mean?
Well, the in relationship to God, I mean, of course, the term in Christ is throughout Paul's teachings, and the one thing that the church got it wrong, and I got it wrong for many years, was that the people, the only ones that were in Christ were those who were believers, and those of faith were in Christ. But to be in Christ and for Christ to be in us, it's a mutual thing, and both are very powerful to understand, to actually be in Christ. And but we were taken into Christ, and you know, and we, like I say, we have taught for years that being you wind up being in Christ as a result of becoming a believer, that somehow you kind of slip in there, you know. But Paul taught very clearly in Ephesians that when Jesus was dying on the cross, when he was nailed to the cross and took all the law and nailed it to his tree, it literally says that he took all Jews and all Gentiles, which that's the only two groups of people that God recognized on the earth as being in those two categories at the time of the cross. And it says that he drew the entire human race, all Jews and all Gentiles, into his body. So when they went into Christ, the entire planet, in fact, you and me went into Christ 2,000 years ago. We didn't go into Christ when we became believers, nor did we go into Christ after we were born. We went into Christ 2,000 years before we were born. It's just such a powerful thing when we begin to understand it and to realize that Paul, you know, that Hebrews talked about the heroes of faith and said, but they, even though they received, you know, that these wonderful things by faith, that they did not receive the promise, that they, without us, would not be made perfect. So everyone from the past, everyone from the future, everyone living at the time, we're all gathered into Christ. I believe the terms that are used in the shadow of the Almighty and under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty also are terms that we're referring to that moment on the cross when Jesus took everybody into his body. Well, when everybody went into his body, then, of course, the sentence upon the human race was that we had to die because of sin. And when Jesus died, then that made us also to die. And as he teaches so very proficiently throughout the New Testament, and especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says that if one died, all are dead, and if one is raised, then all are raised to life again. So being in Christ is a huge subject, and the CDs that they just very, very, I remember teaching on it, and it was a very profound time. It was one of those moments where it's had the pleasure of feeling like I was sitting down listening to the teaching instead of standing up doing the teaching.
It's amazing when that happens, when words begin coming out of your mouth that you know you may have never have thought quite that same way, but here it is. We used to call those heavy revies or heavy revelations.
Yeah.
But that's an exciting time when you know that you're literally speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if you will, and gospel stuff is coming out in a way that you never had even heard yourself before.
Yes. No, that's very true. Very, very true. And, you know, of all of the supernatural experiences that I could ever speak of, that for me is probably the most poignant times in my life, is those moments when you're actually standing there in front of people. And it really is for me, you know, it's just like sitting down and listening. And I am listening as intently, if not more intently, than the people who are listening to me, because I mean, I'm acutely aware of that I'm learning something, you know, kind of mainlining here, you know, for a lack of a better term, and but I think the people recognize it, because over the years, the folks that have been that have been a part of the teachings, they're very aware of when those moments take place. They can sense that very thing, and so it is quite a thing to happen to me or to anybody that it's ever happened to. They certainly do understand what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, we have our first pledges coming in for the evening, and we're over $2,000 now in one-time gifts, going towards $5,000. We want to thank George and Kim Nick-Jair for a $100 one-time gift. They will be receiving a free CD teaching series, the 2-CD teaching, In Christ. So will Judy Hamilton, who has donated $100. Thank you very much, Judy.
Yes.
So much appreciated for your generosity. You'll be receiving the 2-CD teaching, In Christ. Robert and Linda. I can't read their last names. What's their last names?
Parks.
Robert and Linda Parks, in with $50.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Robert and Linda, for contributing to the Gospel Revolution. So for our goal of $5,000, we have 7 days to do this, but it'd be awesome if we got it done tonight here on the last webcast for the Autumn Pledge Drive. So we're at $2,085. For the one-time gifts, and we're at $2,640 trying to raise $5,000 in annual monthly giving. That's not $5,000 per month. It's $5,000 during the course of the entire year. What we need is to have two more people to give $100 per month, and that will take us over the top for that. And as many people as possible to donate to the monthly giving is a huge help. For $20 a month, that, of course, would be $240 a year. That would get you the $100 premium thank you of the 2-CD teaching, In Christ. We do have a guest coming on, but we do want to hear from you right now at 1-800 436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, click on donations, do your best at a one-time gift and for your monthly contribution, and then just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. You can also ask questions or make comments as well. We'll address those. But tonight is our night to focus on the money. And, you know, Michael, there's a big scandal brewing right now in the United States Congress. Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa is investigating some of the lavish lifestyles of ministries like Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn and Randy and Paula White, these people, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, that are frankly living lavish lifestyles based on the contributions to people to their ministries, and they want to know why. And I think it's a good question. Why these guys are driving around in Rolls Royces and living in multi-million dollar homes and having private planes when the money is supposed to be going to preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. And all we're looking for is to raise 10 grand so we can pay the electric bill at this point. But we're happy to take the baby steps. You know, you got to crawl before you walk, and you got to walk before you run. And it's our desire to run with this gospel all over the world. And we're seeing the impact. We know we're having the impact. Michael, so many times people communicate with you and me and say without this gospel message, they have no idea where their life would be. And so what we were asking, what we asked in the email today is let your giving reflect the relationship that you feel with this effort and with this message.
Yeah, that really is the thing, you know, is that we really are just appealing to people's hearts, you know. Because I'm just convinced that it's been really funny that a lot of times people even say, "Wow, if I'd have known you really needed the help, I would have been doing this." And it's you know, we tried presenting the need to the point where that people would be able to respond, but it doesn't seem to do it. So what we really are doing is just appealing to people to listen to your heart. You know, if this is something that has, that not just has done something for you, you know, we've got to get outside ourselves. This isn't payment for, it really is, you know, paying it forward so that somebody else can hear, because it does make a difference, and we are able to make a much greater impact around the world, and we are reaching the world, and, you know, we've got friends from so many continents, you know, that even have become supporters of the ministry and outside of the United States, when we have so many friends right here that really should be a part of this gospel revolution. It has changed their lives. It has changed their lives, their existence on planet Earth. And there's just something about, you know, closing up to that which has really ministered life to you that, you know, it's just it doesn't seem to be a lifetime healthy thing to do. I know that with me, I mean, I've been, you know, as devastated financially as I could possibly be. But the one thing that I wanted to do is to continue to support the gospel even with the dollars that I have. And it's wonderful to be here at the church. And, you know, I love writing out checks to Freedom Worship Center. And that's a real joy to me to be able to do that. And it's not based on, I'm not really basing it on, you know, can I afford it? That's not really the issue. The issue is, I really love what we're doing here, and I want to support it financially as best as I possibly can, too.
And the thing that we tried to articulate in the email that went out today was that, and it's kind of ironic because we're saying on the one hand, there is no obligation that we have towards God at all anymore. All the obligation that we had, whether it be for prayer or tithing or being good stewards of what God has given us, all these things may be a good idea, but we're not obliged to God to do them at all, because if we were to say that we would be hypocrites, because
absolutely.
Because our entire message, Michael, is that Jesus paid all ALL of the obligation that we owed to God.
Well, and the thing of it is that we realize that through the cross, we really have already deposited in us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the fruit of the Spirit living in us. We have the gifts of the Spirit living in us. And the real issue is, you know, are these things just going to stay tucked away inside of us and not be a part of our living and a part of our faith existence on the earth? And for me, to shut up my heart, you know, to that which gives me life, even on a financial realm. I mean, we don't just sit and receive finances; we give out finances also to support the gospel elsewhere, and not only from myself personally, but also from the ministry, and. But the thing that we're wanting to do is help everyone to access what is within them. And I just believe that it's part of that river of life that is in us, that as we do give, that it is part of what brings these wonderful things out of us that have been deposited in us and that we came in equipped with into this earth. And I think it's all just a part of what I'm now understanding to be a life of faith.
And what do you mean when you say a life of faith?
Well, that's the thing, is it's, you know, the life of faith now, for me, is being able to face each day with determination, with a goal, and with persistence, with consistency. And always looking for the route to get things done, whether it's, you know, getting CDs out or going through a banking situation, you know, and it's like and I don't think that, Glenn, we've ever noticed that the daily walk of faith is such a powerful thing. We've so spiritualized the walk of faith, which it is spiritual, but it should be natural to us to walk by faith. And that really is just us getting in an attitude and moving forward with our lives, knowing that we have things living inside of us that's bigger than us, and so we can do things that are bigger than us. We can resolve things that we're surprised that we wind up resolving. You know, we get answers for things that we don't know that we don't have answers for. And you know, when it comes to the miraculous, I certainly do believe in the miraculous, but I don't. It's just as we were going through the conference and everything, and even up until the last couple of weeks, I begin to realize that even unbelievers can walk by faith. In fact, some unbelievers walk stronger by faith than believers because they're so connecting their faith to getting a response from God, who's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And they apply it as guilt and an unworthiness and judgment of other people. But when those things exist, that's not a walk of faith. That just is not a pursuit of faith. And when I stopped and that thought came to my mind that unbelievers can actually walk out faith better than the traditional believing Christian, because their belief system is so negative to the fact that all that they have is within them. And so what we're doing is seeing people who don't even believe in God operate by faith more than those who claim to be of faith. And that was startling to me. I mean, that's been since the conference, because there were so many things that came out between John teaching and myself and what the people were sharing. And these are things that's just coming alive in me so strongly that I seem to be waking up every day aware that I can walk by faith. And that just is simply just taking it bit at a time, minute at a time, hour at a time, knowing that there's going to be conflict, knowing that there's going to be challenges through the day, but those challenges will be faced and they will be walked through and come out on the other side of these things. And but there's something that is stirring so strong in my heart. I'm wanting to be teaching on some of this as I go up to Wisconsin this weekend, up to Marshfield and Beloit. But there is just such a great awareness that's just generating inside of me of the opportunity that we have to literally live by faith. Now, everybody knows that in the process of learning the gospel, I virtually gave up. I didn't want to even talk about any benefits of the gospel at all. And it's like for me, and I think that I walked people through this pretty much, is that we convinced everybody to forget about the benefits. Let's learn the gospel. And we did. We did. And I just look back on the pureness of heart and the people for following through with this and being willing to give up every possibility that God was even an active part of daily life for most people. But to come to want more than anything to understand God or understand God's view and opinion of us more than we wanted to know about Him. What do you believe about us, God? What do you believe about us? What do you think about us? What are you persuaded that I can do? And that has been, again, the thing that is the thing that is has taken root in people. And I think now it's growing so profoundly, and now I'm beginning to get understanding. I'm teaching on the subject of faith, but it's so not connected to trying to believe that God is going to do something. It is walking out that which He has already done. Already done. You know, once I get through using up all that God has given me through Christ, then I'll start trying to talk God into doing something for me.
I think that's the huge point, is that when we talk about walking in faith, we're not, you know, there was this whole teaching about how all of our answers to prayer were somehow locked up in heaven.
Yes.
And between here and heaven, there were principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that had to be loosed in order for what is in heaven to come down to here. But what we believe is that heaven's already in our hearts.
Absolutely.
And so really the key is the gospel's already had its work. But
yes,
as we meditate upon the gospel, as we're saved, if you will, the gospel does continue to have an effect on our lives, not because God is standing up there and waiting for an exact moment for us to have prayed long enough or hard enough or wept profusely enough. It's just that through the renewing of the mind, we begin to operate in a stability that allows the blessings to flow that are already there.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, like I say, once I exhaust that, then, you know, I'll start talking to God about doing things that are outside of what He's already provided. But I'm not saying that I don't think that there's miraculous things that have nothing to do with faith at all. I really am beginning to see, Glenn, that the miraculous has nothing to do with us at all. Just the same as our redemption had nothing to do with us. There's people who believe nothing. There's people who, you know, that miracles seem to happen more when people are at a point where that they're just, you know, they don't believe nothing. They're not in a position to even try to do anything. So I do believe that the miraculous is there, but we have to leave the miraculous to God. Because once we know how to get God to do the miraculous, this is no longer something of God. This is now just it's a science. But walking by faith and walking this out really is almost comparative to a science because it really works. But trying to get God to do something because you've believed well enough does not work. But believing what God has done is good enough does work.
And
walking that out in our life. I mean, it's an awesome thing to wake up in the morning And I don't know what's happening in my heart. I'm telling you, this is so powerful that's happening to me personally. That, you know, you wake up in the morning, and it's like, my goodness, this really feels so different than it did before. I've got a day in front of me to experience the greatness that's inside me. And this whole veil, and I don't know what other people have experienced, but I got so tangled up in just getting so angry with God and upset because, you know, why aren't you doing something? And I'm telling you, it's taken years to break that off of me. Years. Even years of believing the gospel that we share now, it has taken so long to break that off of me. And to wake up without that cloud and without the apprehension and the questioning about life. And it's like, my God, stop questioning it and live it.
But what evangelicalism does, and you see it all the time in Christian media, is they try to put what they would call an answer to prayer or the miraculous into a formula. And then if you'll just buy this anointing oil, or if you'll buy... Or if you'll just buy this teaching series, or if you'll just buy this prayer shawl, now that's the latest fad, that's the key to unlocking the miraculous, and it's a sideshow. It's an absolute joke is what it is, and yet people continue to buy into it because they want so bad to believe.
Yeah.
That if we just would do something, if we would just partake of that fruit one more time and have the knowledge of good and evil, that will be the thing that will bring the answer to prayer that we want. And what we're saying is that's not what is going to do it at all.
No, and I tell you what, even this is not a struggle to walk by faith. It wasn't until I embraced my unbelief that I started coming to a place where this is a different world for me now. It's just, it really is something really incredible is happening inside my heart. And, you know, just as we were teaching up in Canada, in Romans, Paul posed the question, can unbelief undo the faith of God? And he says, God forbid. He says, and then he says, let God be true and every man a liar. I'd never read that in context. You know, everybody knows let God be true and every man a liar. But I never knew what it was in context to. But the thing he said before is, can man's unbelief undo the faith of God? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. So anybody that says man's unbelief can undo what God's faith has done is a liar. And God's truth is that God's faith has overcome our unbelief. And once I understood that even my unbelief had been totally defeated at the cross, there's something called faith coming out of me. But it's coming out of my understanding of unbelief in comparison to God's faith. It's not coming out of me because I finally learned about how to do it. I learned it. I have nothing to do with it. And it's just been the most amazing thing. I mean, these are things that, like I say, that I want to be sharing on to some degree, as much as what comes to my heart as we can in the sessions, because the Canada sessions just, I mean, it did something to me there. And there's just so much. I you know what, I feel like right now that if I had about a 6-week teaching tour and teaching a couple of times a day, I don't think I would run out of new understanding that has been flooding into my heart.
Well, folks, you could be part of that 6-week tour, and the folks in Wisconsin are taking advantage of it.
They better watch out this time, I tell you.
Mike's going to be in Marshfield, Wisconsin on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, and then in Beloit Sunday and Monday evening. And for all the specifics, if you can be anywhere in the central and southern Wisconsin area, just go to the gospelrevolution.com page. All the information is there right on the homepage, contact numbers, times of meetings, and contact the good folks in Marshfield and in Beloit, and they will give you directions, and you could be a part of it, or you can invite Mike yourself to be part of this 6-week tour, and get after it. Just click on the Invite Mike button on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com, and it's a lot easier than you would think. We're going to talk about more about the meeting in Calgary, and we've got lots of questions to get to, but we're asking for you to call and make your pledges tonight for the last night of the Autumn Pledge Drive for the Gospel Revolution. The toll-free number is 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or email us your questions, your comments, and your pledges at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And for gifts of $100 or more, whether they be through the total of the monthly giving you'll be doing or in a one-time gift, you will receive, as our thank you, free and postage paid, the new 2-CD teaching, In Christ. Well, but speaking of Canada, online right now, we have James Gustafson calling us from Saskatchewan. James, welcome online. How are you tonight?
Fine.
Hey, James.
Yes?
Good to have you on. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
You're in Estevan, Saskatchewan?
You got it.
Where is that in there?
Well, we're near the U.S. border on the east side of the province of Saskatchewan.
And were you at the meetings in Calgary?
I was.
And how did you enjoy?
Well, I really enjoyed. You know, it's pretty hard to sum it up, really, because, like, I it takes me a little while to catch on to, you know, that all that the speakers were talking about, and so I can hardly wait for the tapes to get here because I go through them inch by inch, and then it even takes me some time because, you know, I was pretty involved in religion, and to break free of that is not an easy job.
And so tell us what your process was, so what your background was, and how you stumbled upon Mike and the gospel.
Well, my background was as far as, like, I grew up in church. I think it was told that I was born one Sunday and in church the next. and so, you know, I don't think it comes any better or worse than that. And so, you know, that was my whole life. And then, you know, you went through all of the processes. It was a Protestant church, but, you know, and you just get that constant teaching of all of the so-called doctrines, and you just try to do better and increase your knowledge of them you know, including tithing and those kinds of things that I just got so wrapped up in it. And, you know, It got so discouraging at the end for such a long during that process that I just thought there was no use even you know, living, really. However, you know, then, and it wasn't just a direct, you know, through different organizations we kind of tried to break out of that, and of course when the faith move and all those came along, I jumped in, you know, feet first and went in really strong, trying to become the very best at whatever they had to offer. And then I really got, you know, it got so bad that it just started to choke me. And of course it was through that process of Full Gospel Businessmen and things like that where I met Mike. I think probably first as a guest speaker, and then we started a church in the next community to this one, and we had kind of direct access to an invitation, or, you know, to having Mike be our guest in our church on several occasions.
Yes, in fact, the church kind of sprang out of the first meetings that I was coming up there to.
I would think so.
And, yeah, that I remember those days. Goodness, we'd go into those small towns across Saskatchewan. I remember one of the little towns, we had more people in the church than there was in the population of the town.
Yeah.
But it was quite a time, and we were all there really eager to to know and to understand, and little did we know, you know, the route that we would take by, you know, really seeking after things. I've known James and his wife and his children and my, you know, my entire family went up, and you know, our little girls play together. I mean, this has been a friendship that's gone on for many, many, many years. And it really was a journey. And then speaking in the church there, and then of course beginning to teach some things that were a little bit outside of what would be considered the word of faith, and eventually was not invited back. And actually, James and I lost contact for a little while. And James, tell him about the. It had been a few years since we had been in contact, and then it actually was another. It was a Calgary conference that I was doing at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And tell him about that. About that. How that little reunion took place there.
Well, we were. It was in the breakfast nook, actually. In the morning, my wife and I and my daughter and her friend were there because we were attending a business seminar. And my wife was sitting facing the door, and she saw you come in, and she recognized you. And that was, you know, then, of course, you came over to the table where some of the people who were helping you were, and then you recognized us, and you kind of said to us, well, kind of, I'm so glad you guys came to the conference. And, but at that point, I knew nothing of the conference. I think it was already then called Grace Conferences.
Yes.
And so I, that afternoon, we were going to head home back to Esteban, and I decided that that I wanted to hear what you had to say. However, I had to make, that was a bit of a difficult decision, because after your last visit at Weyburn, there were people who told us to have nothing more to do with you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not the first time that's happened to people, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and so I thought, well, like, to me, you really hadn't changed. I mean, you changed your appearance and things like that. However, you were still, like, I was very surprised to see you, to say the least. So I thought, well, I at least owe you the opportunity to hear what was the little bit of a background to this. Is the last time you were invited to speak at the church, you sent a tape saying, before you confirm my reservations in that, you listen to this tape, because I have changed my mind and I have changed some of my teaching, and you need to listen to it and then reconfirm the invitation. The people who were there chose not to do that, just accepting you on you know, a previous acquaintance.
Yes.
And of course, the intention of that meeting was more along the lines of a deliverance meeting.
Yes, I remember.
Pardon?
Yes, I remember.
Oh yeah, and so. When you came with a different view of the gospel, and called it the gospel of grace and peace, and presented that, it was, you know, it didn't meet the expectation of those who had organized the meeting. And
yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, so. I knew I was on the board at that time of this church, and so I was also supposed to listen to that tape, but I never, like, the time period between hearing about the tape and you actually being there, it had never been given to me to listen to. So, and I don't know if it would have changed my mind or not. Anyway, I don't know, but I never did listen to the tape. I don't have any idea what it had to say on it, but I think that it was very honorable on your part to do that, and therefore there really should have been no blood on your hands, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny how many times that during that period of time, because I did feel a responsibility to those that were inviting me back, presuming that I was going to be speaking on these things. And I remember very clearly, I mean, they said they wanted me to speak on deliverance, and I did. I told them that they were delivered from the law. And so I tried to stick with what they wanted me to do. They wanted a deliverance meeting, and the deliverance was from the law. It's what that I introduced to the church. But I did on most all occasions at that time, as I was getting, these repeat invitations, I would ask them, well, let me send you a tape or a series or something, and then if you still want me to come, then, you know, call and reconfirm. Mm-hmm. But James's story about how the church handled it there is absolutely typical, because none of the churches, nobody that I sent those tapes to listened to them in advance and went ahead and had me in anyway. Mm-hmm. And then had the same type of reaction in those churches. And it was, I've got several stories about that, actually, that maybe we'll get into someday. It was, now I look back on it, it actually was quite funny, but that really is true. That's exactly the way that James shared that.
How old were your kids, James, when you first reconnected with Michael?
When we first met?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We tried to figure that out here when we were at the Calgary meeting, what year it was. And, like, my daughter was born in 75, and what would she have been, Mike, 5 or 6?
Yeah, and I had a daughter born in 75. She and Sarah are the same age, so yeah. Sarah was 5 or 6 years old when I brought my family up there. So
yeah, we're guessing, but I'm saying that's a pretty good guess.
Yes. We probably met somewhere around 1981, 82, somewhere around
yeah,
there.
I'm guessing that's it. Yeah.
Given where you were, James, in the church prior to being exposed to the gospel of grace and peace, how has the gospel and your growing in the knowledge of God's grace over the years affected your child rearing? And could you imagine how it would have been if you would have stayed in the legalistic perspective?
Well, let's see now. I got to think this one through. I'm guessing that like in those early years when we met, when we reacquainted would have been what, 92 to 94. Okay, so that makes my daughter
10 or 11 years.
My
later,
daughter
right.
was gone at 17.
Right.
So I don't raising children. If I could only do it over again, I wish I could. Because, there would be no, I wouldn't do half the things I did.
Yeah.
You know, for one, I put the stick away.
Yes.
I think in the case of my daughter, I probably did more damage with that stick than I did, would have, because she has a tender heart anyway, you know, and I think that at the time I thought it was just an obligation, just so she got acquainted with it, you know.
Yeah.
More than the value in it, because, I mean, she still talks about it from time to time. If that wouldn't have, that silly stick, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then as far, if you were to ask my wife, she'd say, at first, she'd say, the change is so dramatic, I can't put my finger on it, but I like it. She would just say, I like the change. But she didn't know where I was going next, because basically I had to wipe the slate clean and start over, and that was hard. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I didn't do anything for a number of weeks after I heard Mike in Calgary that time when we met him in the restaurant. And it wasn't because he said to do something. Here's what happened. In that meeting, I didn't even have a Bible with me, and he was reading. It turned out to be that he was reading the scripture, and he kept saying, Now, here's what it says in context. And I almost got angry at that because I thought that was the trick of, you know, keep saying, now, if you read it in context, because I had just come out of the Word of Faith where many times I had picked little nuggets of verses, what we would call, and we would use them any which way we could.
Right, so that's the key in the Word of Faith movement, is they take nothing in context.
Well,
they take it all out of context.
Okay, then you know where I'm at with that.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden I had to start putting some of these things in context, and it was such a dramatic change. And like I told you at the beginning, I'm very slow at this. So for me to make a dramatic change, or, you know, a complete change, I had to work through it inch by inch by listening to the tapes. But I realized pretty quick that I had to wipe the slate clean and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like one of the things, living out of your heart was often a comment that was made. And, you know, we used to, it was pretty hard to trust your heart, because your heart will take you in some pretty unique places.
Right.
And so when I started to trust, and my heart took me in places that I didn't expect, and challenged me in many areas, and challenged every what I would have called my foundational truths, and most of them, they just got destroyed. I mean, so I would say that I was choking to death prior to this, and that's not the way it is now. It's totally different. Now, I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Yeah, very, very much so.
That's beautiful, James.
And Michael, I think that that's something that a lot of people, I don't know if they have a hard time with it, but they're experiencing it with right along with us, is sometimes we change our minds. In fact, I've got an email here from a woman in Kansas named Betty, who's been listening to your tapes for years and has noticed that now all of our releases are on CDs, and she's been trying to make some transcripts from the CDs, because, as James says, you've got a lot of times you've got to listen to these things over and over and over again. And she wants to know, Michael, is when are you going to write a book? She says, I don't care that you change your mind. I just want it written down so I can read it. And we've got news about a book coming, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. It's you know, there's so many wonderful things in the works right now that we've tried, you know, I guess I could describe the last few years as like a bullfrog bumping its butt every time it hops, you know. And that was like us, but we really are taking off now, and there's things that are being done. And in fact, we'll be spending a good portion of the very end of this year working on that very book, our very first book, and hopefully to have that out early next year.
So stay tuned for that, Betty, because Michael and I were talking about that today, as a matter of fact. Yes, a book is definitely in the works. And we've got a plan for that, and of course, you beautiful humans will be kept abreast of all the advancements and the progress as things move forward. But James, we know that you've been a great supporter of Michael and the Gospel Revolution, and this is the third night of the Autumn Pledge Drive. We're trying to get people to help us meet our goal of $10,000, and we're about halfway there. We've got the broadcast tonight, and then the rest of this next week as people log on to the show via the archives. But in a nutshell, how would you explain to people why it's important to support this effort financially?
Well, I have no idea what kind of expenses Mike incurs. Like, I have no idea, but I know that with the vast audience that he has and the speaking engagements that he goes to, he must have some pretty substantial expenditures. I've never been involved with, say, for instance, the Calgary conference, but there's a hotel to rent and and meals and all that stuff. Plus his travel there, and by airplane, and then the taxis or whatever that he takes. So, and it just doesn't happen on its own. I know that. And so, and that's the nuts and bolts of it. I mean, in the Calgary conference, it wouldn't have been much of a conference without Michael there, for sure. And then secondly, he brought a guest with him this time, his pastor, who has a little different approach, I guess, because he is a pastor.
That's to say the least. and thank God for John's approach.
Yeah, well, of course. He hit some heartstrings, and I mean, when's this thing going to get over with? You think you've arrived, and then sure enough, you get hit again.
Exactly.
And that wasn't necessarily his intention. I guess that's where the Holy Spirit does his own little thing there, it deals with us on different levels, I guess.
Very good.
However, I don't know. Did I answer your question?
You're doing great, James. We really appreciate it. And we want to encourage everybody to participate as James has and in giving into this ministry and this effort. We're taking calls at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, and just go to the gospelrevolution.com websites, click on donations, and do your best in a one-time gift. And we're asking you to make a pledge for monthly giving. And that total we're getting to over the next 21 days, or now with 7 days remaining, we've been doing this now for the last couple of weeks, of $5,000 in annual monthly giving and in $5,000 one-time gift. Right now we're at $2,085 in the one-time gifts, and for the annual monthly pledges we're at $2,640. We want to try to get to $5,000 each, and I would be remiss, James, if I did not give you an opportunity if you wanted to participate in that tonight.
Well, I guess I should. What I was going to tell Mike when he was in Calgary was that I was hoping to start in January with a pledge, a monthly pledge, and I guess he knows I just sold my business, and so I've got some things to iron out here, and I was going to tell him that, and I left early actually that day, and I didn't get that dirty work done, but I don't know if you're going to let me off the hook, because this will be a part of the fall pledge or whatever, but
if you're starting in January.
Oh, yeah, it definitely would be, yeah, because we won't be doing our next one until after that, so it definitely would be part of the goal that we're trying to reach.
Okay, well, that's what I would like to do, and I I've been on this website a couple of times just visiting, but never heard this live broadcast. You got to be reminded of these things from time to time. And so I reacquainted myself with that, since being here from the conference. And I guess I can do that by clicking on
I'm there, and you just go to the donations. And can we give a figure as to what you'll be doing on a monthly basis so we could?
Well, I'd like to start with $25 a month.
That's awesome.
And that's Canadian dollars now. You got to remember that.
Well, but it's pretty much U.S. dollars at this point. It's pretty much dollar for dollar.
It was a dollar for today. $1.
Yeah, but I rib these guys up in Canada. They really gave me a pass, Glenn, because over the years I've just so joked with these guys about talking about something about the difference that this is this much and but in Canadian funds and doing the comparison, which I exaggerated grossly every time, and they took it in good humor. And even though the Canadian dollar was stronger, this is my first trip up there since I started going way back when, that the Canadian dollar was actually stronger. So, yeah, so James does deserve his due here to get to mention the fact that the Canadian dollar is ahead of us.
Well, James, that's awesome, and that will not only take us to 29.40 towards that $5,000 goal, but also will you'll be getting those free CDs, the In Christ teaching as well, and much appreciated.
Okay.
Well, just log on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Time live, and then you can always go to my website at glennklineonline.com, which there's a link on the gospelrevolution.com webpage, and then you can listen to the archive anytime at your convenience. But thanks so much for your time and for all your support. We really appreciate your heart and everything that you're doing to spread this gospel all over the planet.
Okay.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's James Gustafson, ladies and gentlemen, who just contributed $25 a month as a pledge. And all right, so we're almost at $3,000 in that, and we're at $2,085 still in one-time gifts. So now we have a phone line available at 1-800-436-3260 for you to call, and with your comments and questions, and hopefully with your one-time or monthly gifts. And as I said, James and you too will be receiving the free two CD series In Christ for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or the annual monthly pledge of $10 or more, we'll get you the free CD series In Christ. And now on line three, we do have three lines. Let's welcome on the aforementioned other speaker from the Calgary Conference, the pastor of the Freedom Worship Center, Mr. John Adair. Hello, Pastor John.
Well, hello there, Glenn, Michael. What's with this Pastor John stuff? Aye, aye, aye. You guys are getting religious on me.
Well, we're free. We can do what we want. It's the Holy Father, John Adair, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'll have to share with you a story sometime about how I got the name Most Holy Reverend. It involved a zipper and a shirt tail.
I was going to say that it involved Mrs. Adair. Well, we just got a great report from James Gustafson, who was in the meetings of Calgary, that he said you pulled down some new heartstrings. He said every time he thinks he's got it figured out, here comes a guy named John Adair to unveil some new stuff. But you guys had quite a time up there, I understand.
We had a fabulous time. Yeah, those heartstrings, I don't understand it. It seemed that they were weeping down in Corpus Christi, and they were weeping up in Calgary, and I couldn't figure out what was said that got them weeping. I asked Michael several times. He says, I don't know. But it was wonderful. I mean, you know, freedom is expressed in many ways, and sometimes when that freedom hits your heart and you realize the beauty of it, and I think that's really what he's talking about, the heartstrings, is it's just melodious that comes to your heart, and you recognize the beauty of what Christ has done. And in that beauty, it's just a picture that you see in your mind's eye that floods your very soul and touches every emotion that you've got. And the good news just keeps getting better and better. And just when you think it's you've reached the end of it, and you want to go back and meditate on what you've learned a month ago or a year ago or 3 years ago. And even though hearing those things and listening to those CDs and hearing the same message again, it is refreshing, and it still has life. It does never go stale or old. At the same time, it continues to grow and just unfold in your heart and in your soul and your mind and throughout your life, that it's phenomenal. And what I love so much about being with Mike in traveling as well as just day-to-day life is the freedom to be me and the freedom that he has to be him. And the series that, I wonder, Michael, if we should rename that series from The Impossible Dream to The Possible Dream. Because that's really what we're experiencing, the possibilities of just being ourselves and finding that it's such an honor to God to be who he created us to be. With all the good, bad, and the ugly, to truly just be who he created us to be. And that's what he died to set us free from. with all the pretentiousness, all the hypocrisy, all the facades we try to put up and try to come to him with our phylacteries and our religiosity, and yet he accepts us right where we're at and asks us to just lay that aside, lay that at waste, and be free to be me right before his eyes.
Isn't that, John, what we owe each other? Because there has been nobody that has ever been created on the planet like Michael Williams, or like John Adair, or like James Gustafson, or like Len Klein, or all the people that you met in Corpus Christi, and that meet at the Freedom Worship Center, and that were at Calgary. That is the body of Christ, and you're right, man. When the facade can come down, that's where the freedom is. I was, I do full-time life coaching for this company in Wisconsin, and I do individual coaching sessions, and I was counseling and coaching a gentleman tonight who's going through a divorce, and I was able to share my life experience with him completely unvarnished, and it is so freeing, because when you find your security and your identity in Christ, you can be honest with people. We're not credited and endorsed to be a minister of the gospel because we got our act together. It's because Jesus has his act together. And there's something that is so attractive about people who are honest and transparent and are secure in who they are in Christ, because they know that everybody else is in that same boat.
Well, transparency is probably the key word you're going to get out of these CDs that we did in Calgary. There were things that I felt so comfortable with the wonderful, beautiful people in Calgary that I shared, that there were stories that went way back way, but I'd never shared them where I allowed it to be recorded. And this was a first for me. And now it's out there, and I'm sure once it gets circulated, the emails will flow and the phone calls will come. But, you know, I wouldn't take it back for anything, because it's transparent. It's real. It's what God is doing on a day-to-day basis in someone's life, and that being without limits and putting him in a box or ourselves in a box, but living the totality of life that he has given us, and whatever that looks like. And it's wonderful. And to be in a group like up there in Calgary, I couldn't begin to tell you what a wonderful time it was to spend with people that were free. And there was just no pretentiousness about anything.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I mean,
good people, aren't they, Johnny?
Yeah, great, awesome, generous, loving, caring, supportive, gospel caring in their heart, full of life people. And I wish we had more time to get to know them. We're looking forward to going back maybe at the end of March, Michael and I, and possibly doing a tour up from Calgary to Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Vancouver. I don't know how we could arrange all that, but I think it's possible. And I think it would be a wonderful awakening to come to many in those areas. We were talking with a couple folks while we were up there about starting a Champions of Grace in the Calgary area and planting a home base there and letting it be a regular monthly fellowship, and by which Champions of Grace ministers can frequent there. And as they're coming up through that area, they can stop in on a monthly basis so that people in Calgary and those areas could fellowship together, have somewhere to go and know meeting time and know it's regular and know that someone's going to be there when they show up that understands where they've been and where they're at and the power of where they're going. You know, it's a wonderful thing, like Freedom Worship Center. It's not about the building. Being the church is networking. That is being the church. And as I shared up in Calgary a little bit, the three different things. What is the church? It's networking. Whether it's believers or non-believers, you're still networking. That's being the church. You can't go to church. You can be the church. And then the pulpit, you know, probably the best way to describe the pulpit is saying Alcoholics Anonymous groups, because when you go in there and you say, "Hi, I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic," and they all say, "Hello, John," from that point on, John has the pulpit. He says what he wants, as long as he wants, in any form he wants. And when he's done, they move on to the next person. And when they're all done speaking and all shared what they wanted to share, they hug each other, don't judge one another, don't condemn another, don't try to pick apart each other's thoughts or ideas of what they had. They accept them right where they're at and walk away. And they come back next week and do it again. So really the pulpit is no more than a place of liberty where a person that stands there is allowed to say what they want for as long as they want without interruption. And then after that, you can take what you want, eat the fish, spit out the bones, hug the person, and see you next week. But it's for everybody. It's not just for Pastor John or Teacher Mike. It's for everybody to have their voice, to share what God is doing in them. And I think that's what Paul was saying in Corinthians. But come with what's going on in your life. Share what's happening, what's going on with you. And having the opportunity in Calgary to hearing that was wonderful. And the third thing that I talked about was the fivefold ministry, which was the fivefold ministry is nothing more than to be in your life to help remove the obstacles of unbelief that are keeping you back from discovering who you are and what Christ has done. That's all the fivefold ministry is for. It's not there to control your life, run your life, tell you which way to live it. It's there to help remove the obstacles that is keeping you from doing that.
And this
not
is,
to put anything on you.
And this is one of the beautiful things about Champions of Grace already. And, Michael, you know this because traveling the world as you have, the same hunger for understanding the righteousness of God that has been imputed to us already is universal. It doesn't make a difference if you're in Corpus Christi or Calgary or Venezuela or Africa. This is why we hear from people all over the world that the hunger for wanting to know the true gospel is universal.
It's universal. It crosses all barriers, all races, all sexualities. It doesn't make any difference what financial strata someone might be in, to great lack, to great wealth. It's all the exact same need. And the most incredible thing that I've noticed, and I know John has witnessed this too, is, you know, when we were in the evangelical movement and Word of Faith, that everybody had a testimony. And everybody's testimony was different. You know, this testimony was, I used to be, you know, an alcoholic, now I'm not. And this one was, I used to do this, and now I don't do that. And this used to be me, and that now that's not me. And but now everybody's testimony is exactly the same. And that is, I used to be bound by the law, and now I understand that I'm free, and I'm learning who I am, and that in light of who God says I am. Everybody's testimony is exactly the same, yet the testimony is the same, yet the lives are lived out so differently and so individually and freed to be absolutely individual, but yet the testimony that has impacted them, they're all exactly the same.
Isn't that what Scripture says, or the New Testament says, that they have overcome by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony is about the blood of the Lamb?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's good, John. I like that. Yeah, and it's, it didn't say the word of the testimonies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this. It really does put their testimony as a singular thing. It's a group thing with one testimony. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
You can preach that on Sunday now.
Saturday, Michael. We meet Saturday.
That's right. I keep forgetting. I don't get to be here very often. So.
There's some religious things we still got to beat out of you.
I know. Well, yeah. He's beating on me today, so.
I know. I was terrible today.
Well, thanks for calling, buddy. Really appreciated it. I was talking to Mike today about hopefully making the trip down to beautiful Houston relatively soon myself, so. I look forward to seeing your gorgeous face in person.
And likewise, my friend. Look so forward to it. And I was just talking to Patrick about the ins and the outs and the do's and the don'ts about having our live meetings be live webcast meetings as well. So he's going to, I told him that Michael would pay for his way to come down here in January. It's just after the first of the year. Michael will be happy to put him up in a 5-star hotel and live
Why not?
To the place. And, of course, I didn't make that but sounds good now.
Well, you've got a big old smile on his face right now, Patrick Jones does. So. You know, I was talking to Tim Pruitt this week, our webmaster, just another integral team player in the Gospel Revolution and this whole effort of Champions of Grace as well. And I have been working with Tim for the better part of 10 years now. On the webpage and the communication that goes out to everybody around the world, and he and I have never met. And the thought of getting everybody down to Houston in May, and just stay tuned, folks, for information, because we are going to have this Champions of Grace and Gospel Revolution Convention. I cannot even begin to imagine the experience and the manifestation of love that is going to be in that place. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Well, you know what we want, what I'm kind of picturing in my head, and I haven't discussed this with Michael, so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here.
Go right ahead.
But one of the things that I'm thinking about in getting our broadcast live is so that when we have the conference, we can put Glenn there with a table and a microphone who's actually narrating the program live while the speakers are coming up and the next one's leaving, and then, of course, Glenn will be speaking himself. So I think
kind of like the guy at the wrestling ring.
Yeah, like the wrestling ring, you know? Why not? Yeah.
Who's up? Who's down?
I was seeing more of a reporting of like when they report the Democrat and Republican convention. You know, they're kind of interviewing people in the crowd as well as listening to the speakers.
Right. Wouldn't that be awesome?
All right. Well, let's make a note of it. I'll tell you one guy that can make it happen. He's standing right to my right, Patrick Jones. If anybody could make that happen, he could make that happen for sure.
That would be wonderful.
All right, Johnny.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you soon.
Good webcast. Thanks so much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, John.
All right. Love you all.
Love you.
Love you too.
There's John Adair from the Freedom Worship Center that meets on Saturday nights. In Cypress, Texas, and Michael speaks there whenever he is in town. John is always sharing there too, and if you're ever can make plans to be in the Houston area, please do so and participate in those meetings. Well, Michael, we got a bunch of questions. We got some time left, and I just want to remind everybody that this is night number 3 of the 21-day Gospel Revolution Autumn Pledge Drive. There's still time. We've got phone lines available. We've got about 10 minutes left. Give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. There's still time. We would love to hear from you, your comments, your questions, your pledges, whether they be a one-time gift or a monthly pledge. We are about $2,000 away from the goal for the monthly pledges. All that would take would be two people to pledge $100 a month, and then we would be done with that. And we're about a little under $3,000 away. Now, if you're listening to the archive of this, and we do know that many, in fact, most people, of course, listen to the archives, your pledges this week will be counted towards this pledge drive. We've got 7 days. We are 7 days out of the end of this, so do not hesitate. Do not think just because of the last webcast, when you're listening to it on the archives, it counts all week long. Just go to the gospelrevolution.com page, click on donations, go through that process, and then email us and let us know what you did so we can count it towards our goal and see how closely we came. And we are still endeavoring and determined to making that a reality. Well, here we have a huge pledge that just came in, Michael. It says, Mike, we appreciate your willingness to speak out what the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to you, even though sometimes it ruffles the feathers. My husband's a chiropractor, and a brother and a sister ran into each other in our waiting room and began talking about another sister who is an evangelical Christian. She's a Baptist. They were so fed up with her trying to make them think her way about salvation. Being the interactive receptionist that I am, I, of course, had to open up my mouth. Now, at this point, Mike, I have to say I'm getting used to paying the price to say my piece. I mentioned about the negative effects of religion and how it tears families apart, how we must meet at our bottom line of Jesus and what he accomplished at his cross, his love, etc. Well, little did I know that this brother and sister were Catholic, dedicated Catholics, totally convinced that they are the only way, the Catholics.
Oh, my.
So now, thanks to my big mouth, I've got to listen to a set of Catholic CDs. So they will listen to some of Mike's Gospel Revolution CDs. she says, I can't wait to have that conversation. Anyway,
sure.
they're committing $200 now plus $100 per month.
Oh, my. Thank you.
And that's from Carol and Jerry Felger. And,
Goodness, the Felgers.
The Felgers coming through big time here at the end. So they're committing
$200.
That's awesome. That gets us to $2,285 towards our $5,000 in one-time gifts. And that is an additional $1,200 towards our goal of $5,000, which gets us to $4,104. We just need one more person pledge $100 a month, and that will take us to that goal. And we need one more person to pledge $1,115 in a one-time gift, and that will get us to the $5,000. 1-800-436-3260. That's how quickly it can happen, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-436-3260. We still got some time left for you to call. Get your pledges in or email us like the Felgers did at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. After you go to the gospelrevolution.com website and make your donation, just let us know what you did so that we can include it in our goals. And that's,
yes.
I mean, I don't know how better to say it than that.
Well, and the Felgers are perfect examples. You know, they their lives have been very drastically touched, and all we need is for everybody to be involved. In fact, that's just the only way that it works. It doesn't work because one or two people, you know, we got some big time donor. We don't have any of those. And we had some of the folks in Canada that were extremely generous. But I tell you what, it's this monthly stuff that really puts us in the position to be in the position to where that people can contribute even more. But I tell you, these you monthly supporters, thank God for you. My gosh, thank you so much. It makes all the difference in the world to know that we can budget what's coming in and move us on. This really is about other people, folks, and just like with the Felgers, I know that what they're doing is reaching out because they want to touch the lives of other people. This isn't about touching our lives. This is about touching the lives of this planet. Because I think everybody knows me. I'm just crazy enough to have this stand. I will exhaust every breath that I have to reach this planet with the gospel. And that is my life's ambition. I will settle for nothing less. I just will settle for nothing less. And I intend before I die to have all of this in place. Whenever I die, I intend to have all this in place to where that this teaching and this ministry will continue to spread around the world because I intend to reach the world even if it's two or three generations after my demise from this planet. But we will have this in place to where it will keep going. So you're not just getting involved in something that's going to last a generation. You're getting involved in something that's going to go on for generations and generations to come, affecting the actual existence of planet Earth. I believe that, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
I believe it, too, and without question. And we've often compared, Michael, what we're facing to the fall of Soviet communism. And we saw, literally, in a representation of the fall, the Berlin Wall come down. And nobody thought that that was on their horizon until it happened. And how it physically manifests itself when we could finally say legalism and religion has fallen, I have absolutely no idea how that will look. But I do know that when we see these things exposed in the church, whether it be the priest pedophile scandal or the things with so many ministers that we've talked about over time, these are the little bricks that are coming out of the wall of religion. And
it's falling.
And it's falling. It's happening right now. And with the information that we have out, it's almost guaranteed already that this is going to continue way past after we're gone. But we want to do it in such an excellent way. And we're getting there. With your help, with your time, your energy, your love, and your financial support, it is happening. And one of the things, Michael, that James said earlier on in the webcast, because he's heard you speak, is that you seem like you got your act together so well when you're up there, you know? I mean, you look great. The presentation couldn't be any more excellent. But the reality is the financial situation has not reflected upon the message that people are hearing. People just assume that when you show up, you look good, you present this thing that is absolutely awe-inspiring and life-changing, and then you bring quality guys in like John Adair who does the same thing. But the fact of the matter is the challenge that we have is that we're presenting a message that doesn't require people to give. They have to give out of their hearts. And we're just, I don't know if we'll ever have it figured out exactly, but we're in the process of figuring out how to articulate that while you have absolutely no obligation to give into this ministry because of your relationship with God, that you do, ladies and gentlemen, in my humble opinion, have an obligation to give based on your relationship with the message, based on your relationship with the message giver, and based on the relationship with the relationship that you have with other human beings. 1-800-436-3260. We still have 5 minutes left. There's time to pick up the phone, and let's finish with a big donation here. 1-800-436-3260, or just email us your donation at webcast@gospelrevolution.com for a $100 or more pledge. You will be receiving a free and postage paid 2-CD teaching called In Christ. And John in Oklahoma just sent in a $10 gift. Thank you so much, John.
Oh, it's awesome, John. Thank you.
We so appreciate your contribution and your continued support. So that takes us to $22.95 in one-time gifts. He did that on the PayPal. Much appreciated. 1-800-436-3260. Patrick Jones waiting with bated breath. But Michael, I want to finish. We have a prayer request, and I want to talk a little bit about prayer as we finish here. And I'm going to just read this that came to us from our friend in Corpus Christi, who was just on the webcast. I believe it was last week, as a matter of fact. This is a gentleman that you met named James Forehand.
Oh yes, the gentleman is correct.
And so this is the prayer request. This couple needs our prayers, it says. It must be terrible to be in Iraq with a sick wife at home. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. My name is Gary Hogan. Some of you receiving this know me, some do not. My wife, Cindy, is 32 years old and has been just diagnosed 3 days ago with stage 4 cervical cancer, and her chances for survival are very slim. She was pregnant with our second child and had miscarried recently at 3 months, and now we know why. This is a request to you to forward this email to everyone you know asking for prayer. The more people pray for her to be healed, the better. Pray and forward it. The screen just went down. It only takes a second to hit forward. Please do it, and don't delete this. Your prayer can and perhaps will save her life. Please pray and ask everyone you know to pray for the healing of Cindy and the removal of all the cancer in her body so that she may enjoy all that life has to offer and to continue to be the wonderful mother to our 5-year-old son, Michael. The power of prayer is unsurpassed. I want the whole world to have her in her prayers. In their prayers the next few weeks. God will hear our cries. Please do not be offended by my plea. This is only a request for your help. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for reading this and helping with our request for healing. No words can express the power we have when we each do a little to come together. Regards, Cindy's in-love husband, Gary. That's a powerful request, Michael.
Yes, it definitely is.
And we
do, I tell you, and we encourage everyone to pray from their heart as they feel is their way of communicating in prayer. And we do also, in Jesus' name, we agree with their request and with their desire. And we know that there is no such thing as something that cannot be touched with miraculous power, as we talked about earlier. And this is real life. This is where these things You know, it makes a difference where the gospel is concerned. And we also pray for the eyes of the understanding to be enlightened, that we might all know, including this family, all know the hope of their calling and the riches of the power of the inheritance of the saints that's in them. It is definitely there. It is theirs.
And I will say amen, and so be it to that. Well, you know, when you read a letter like that, it's the comfort of the gospel that is present. And obviously we do not know where these folks are with their understanding of God's love for them. But if anybody hears this webcast that knows these folks or communicate with them, know that the people that understand that God loves them unconditionally, that God loves Cindy and Gary unconditionally, and their child that was miscarried and their child that is alive and well. That is the most critical thing, Michael, and as you and I have talked many times on this program before, it is the gospel that sustains us through times of crisis in ways that we don't even understand.
Absolutely. And we're just in agreement that it's the same thing for this family also.
Amen. All right, well, another pledge drive in the books, but you guys that are listening to this on the archive during the course of the week, just know that every penny that comes in counts towards the autumn pledge drive. Just to repeat ourselves one more time, go to the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations. We're asking you to make a one-time catch-up gift, and then also make a pledge for monthly giving, and for $100 or more, whether it be in the one-time gift or the total giving for on a monthly basis, you will receive free and postage paid the brand new teaching CD. It's a 2-CD teaching series, actually, called In Christ by Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. Also, for those of you that are in the Midwest, Michael is going to be in Wisconsin this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in beautiful Marshfield, right in the center part of the state. And then on Sunday and Monday evening in the southern part of Wisconsin, just north of the Illinois border in Beloit. And for all the information, the contact information and phone numbers to call, for all the information about those meetings, just go to the website. It's right on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com. Michael, have a great time up there in Cheeseland. Give our love to everybody up there.
I definitely will, Glenn. Thanks so much, everybody, and everybody that participated and even just was listening in. You know, this is just a big family event, so we had a good time tonight. And thank you so much, Glenn and Patrick and Tim and everyone that puts effort into this gospel revolution.
Also want to thank John Adair for participating.
Absolutely.
As well as James Gustafson. And until we talk, we'll get Michael's whole report next week. Well, I can't wait to hear about how Wisconsin went. You know, I am a cheesehead, so it's
yes, you are.
That is near and dear to my heart. So we'll talk a week and get a report and answer all these other questions that we didn't get to and all the questions that come in during the course of the week. This is Glenn Klein Online. Shalom, everybody.